Father Sean Sheehy's sermon still creating waves this morning. The Bishop of Kerry informing him that he was off all Mass until the return of the parish priest in Listowel, who is on pilgrimage at present. Father Sheehy rejecting that and rejecting the criticism of his sermons. In a moment, we'll hear from Father Sean Sheehy in response to the criticism, the people walking out of the church on Sunday, St. Mary's Church in Listowel, and other issues to do with his sermon. But first, here's a little bit of what he said in Listowel, in St. Mary's Parish Church at the weekend.
What is so sad today is you rarely hear about sin, but it's rampant. It's rampant. And we see it, for example, in the legislation of our governments. We see it in the promotion of abortion. We see it, for example, in the example of this lunatic approach of transgenderism. We see it, for example, in the promotion of sex between two men or two women. That is sinful. That is mortal sin. And people don't seem to realize it. But it's a fact. It's a reality. And we need to listen to God about it, because if we don't, then there's no hope for those people. And so God is also telling you and me today, look, you have a responsibility to seek out those who are lost. You have a responsibility to call people to an awareness of the fact that sin is destructive. Sin is detrimental. And sin will lead us to hell. When we honor the saints on the first of this coming month, we honor people who are saints. Why are they saints? Because they repented and because they sought forgiveness. As somebody said one time, heaven is full of converted sinners. And so today, God says to us, I have come to call sinners. But if you don't admit you're a sinner, then you're not listening to my call, and I can't do anything for you, because it's a two-way street. Now, there are people, you see, who won't like to hear what I'm saying. But the day you die, you will find out that what I'm saying is not what I invented, it's not what I came up with, it's what God is saying. And the day you die, you will find out that is the truth. Our prayer for people is that it won't be too late for people. But how will people know that God wants to forgive them if we don't tell them? How will people who are lost be found if we, as God's people, don't call them and say, look, God loves you. He has come to call sinners, but he wants you to have life and have it to the full. Because that's what he wants. He wants it to live life to the fullest. But since he's the author of life, we can only live it through, with, and in his grace, through the power of his Spirit. So today, we thank God for calling us, and as the first reading reminds us, for prodding us to become conscious of our sinfulness, so that we will turn to him and say, Lord, please forgive me. And he's only too willing to do that. And it's in that forgiveness we experience God actually saving us from Satan and all his wiles and ways. And he has many wiles and ways. I was talking to a woman there a few weeks ago. Her 17-year-old daughter, who was out with her friends in Tralee, came home and she handed her mother a condom. The mother said, where did you get that? She said, an HSC van was handing these things out in Tralee. And she said, my gracious me, that is promoting promiscuity. That is horrible, horrible. And so therefore, as Christians, we need to stand up for God. And if we don't, then there's no hope for many people. So today, the Lord speaks to us very clearly. And he calls us to be his people and to benefit from his compassion, from his love, from his mercy. And so today, we thank the Lord for this. And those of you who happen to be leaving today, God help you. That's all I have to say to you. And God bless you who are here and who are worshiping God. God bless all of you.
That's a little bit of the sermon on Sunday morning in St. Mary's Parish Church in Listowel from Father Sean Sheehy. I spoke to him yesterday afternoon following the announcement by the Bishop of Kerry that he was apologising for the message, that the message wasn't in tone with the Christian message of the church, and that the Mass and the Family Sunday Mass wasn't the place for such words described in such tones. I spoke to him about the Bishop and what he had said, and I also spoke to him, first of all, about what his reaction was and view was of the 20 or so people who walked out in protest at his sermon.
Well, obviously they walked out basically because I was saying that, sin is embedded, you know, in the modern culture, and it's even enshrined in legislation, you know, as we see where abortion is permitted, same-sex marriage, I mean, transgenderism is happening. HSC Van, for example, is handing out condoms to teenagers. Boys or little boys are told that they could be girls, girls, little boys. That's what I was saying when these people got up and walked out. So obviously, I figured either they thought this was okay, or and they were protesting it, and whatever reason they might do so, you know, was beyond me.
And you said, look, all I can say to you is God help you.
Yes, exactly, because God does need to help them, because they need to realize that this is really tragic, this is really sinful, and that people need to face it and repent and seek forgiveness, because it's totally contrary to the scriptures and to the teaching of the church. So if people want to be Catholic, then they need to understand that they cannot accept those things. They need to reject them and fight against them.
Mm. You made a call as well during your sermon for people to call out sin, to point out to the people who were engaged in sin to say you need to repent, otherwise you won't get into heaven.
And I was quoting the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel says, where God revealed to Ezekiel, he said, if you see somebody doing wrong and you say nothing and they die in their sin, then you would be held responsible for their sin. I mean, that to me is frightening, but that's the reality. Also, I was quoting the spiritual work of mercy, which says you must admonish the sinner. And I mean, you don't admonish the sinner out of a sense of superiority complex, but out of a sense of love, because nobody wants anybody to go to hell.
Mm.
But if people don't realize how grave the sins are that they may be doing themselves or maybe supporting others doing, then my God, the day they die, I mean, it'll be too late.
Mm. You also pointed to our legislators and our legislation along the lines of...
I said that that sinfulness actually is enshrined in legislation. And there, of course, as I said, I refer there to abortion, to same-sex marriage, and so on. Totally contrary to the scriptures and the teaching of the church.
Mm.
And so because those things are legislated, and sadly a lot of people think that because there's no law against it, it must be okay. And that's not true, of course.
Do you accept the democratic will of the people of Ireland when they voted in favor of same-sex marriage?
I do, of course, accept the democratic will of the people, but the democratic will of the people is not the criterion for truth. The criterion for truth comes to us from God through the scriptures and the teaching of the church, not through the people. And that's a reality. Just because I choose something does not make it right. Or it doesn't make it wrong. Right and wrong are determined by God and the teaching of the church based on the scriptures.
Mm.
So that's where I was coming from.
What would you say to someone who would say that your version, what you were talking about, your truth as you see it, and you mentioned the book of Ezekiel, very Old Testament, very judgmental, very condemning people, rather than supporting, or rather being maybe more compassionate as the current Pope Francis calls Catholics to be in these particular areas?
Yeah, but you know, we're not really relying, you see, on what compassion, I think today actually has been totally co-opted. Compassion means that you're willing to suffer with someone else. And being willing to suffer with somebody else means to be there in a helpful mode. And the best way from a spiritual standpoint, the greatest help that I can be to people is to provide them with an opportunity to repent of their sin and seek the forgiveness that God makes available through his church.
But to tell them what you're doing is wrong and you're going to go to hell unless you do what God says.
And that's the truth. If they are doing something wrong and they don't depend...
You see that as compassion.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, look, let's face it, Jerry. As the old saying is, the truth hurts, but it sets us free. You know, Jesus, for example, you know, did not come to make people feel good. He came to save people from their sins. And that was actually the gospel of the Sunday. I have come, he said, to seek out and save what was lost. In other words, those people who are lost in sin. And why are people lost in sin? Sometimes they don't even realize that what they're doing is a sin. So that's where the church's responsibility kicks in, because the church has a responsibility to identify what is sin and what isn't, so people will know what they're choosing freely.
And what do you say then? You talked in your sermon, or the part that I saw of your sermon, you talked about people being able to seek forgiveness, to repent, and then live life to the fullest. You said live their lives to the fullest. How do you square that then with what we do see, what we have seen? We have seen people of homosexual orientation deny that part of themselves, which the church calls on them to do, not to act on their impulses. And we've seen many of them have their lives destroyed. We've seen many of them take their own lives. We saw an era of persecution in the law and morally of homosexuals. And very sadly, many of them ended up killing themselves because they couldn't live with it. So how do you live your life to the fullest if you deny an intrinsic part of yourself?
Look, there are lots of things that may be intrinsic to us, like our proneness to sin, that we certainly don't give in to in order to live life. The fact is that Jesus here is talking about not just simply life here on earth, he's talking about eternal life. So you can live life to the fullest by being faithful to him, and as he says himself, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments, by keeping his commandments. That's the life. And so when I said, you know, live life to the fullest, those are Jesus' own words. And living life to the fullest means living in the grace of God, because it's only in the grace of God that we can really experience life as God wants us to have it.
Do you accept that some people are born homosexual, that they're born with this orientation,
say
that's an intrinsic part of it, or do you believe that it's just these are sinful people who cannot deny their origins?
No, I mean, look, we're all prone to sin. I mean, let's face it, every one of us, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you know, we would certainly be able to overcome it at all. But I think that there is a small percentage of people whose homosexual orientation may very well be biological. But whatever my orientation is, you know, the fact is that God calls me to control myself in accord with his teaching, in accord with his will. And that means obeying the Ten Commandments, that means practicing the Beatitudes. And that's, I mean,
so
the Christian message.
Yeah. Are you saying then that a small percentage of people with the biological, are you saying that not every person that's gay is biologically gay, to your belief?
No, not at all.
So some people are just doing it because they...
It's nurture. It's not nature there for many, it's nurture. It's the environment
really?
In which they grew up. Yeah, absolutely. There are plenty of studies actually that show that. I mean, I saw that myself, actually, during my years in America as well. I mean, that's a fact. And that's why, for example, there were even some psychologists who were very successful in helping people, you know, who thought that they had a homosexual orientation, actually to find out that they really didn't.
Are you talking about conversion therapy?
We're talking about conversion therapy, yeah. Very successful in many areas. However, of course, the media came down on them, and, of course, those people who were promoting homosexuality were very much offended because they thought, well, then that's not really affirming our homosexuality and so on. Oh, yes, of course. Of course.
Can I ask you your response to the statement made by the Bishop of Kerry, who has apologised for comments that you made concerning same-sex relationships, contraception and transgender rights? He issued the apology following your sermons at the weekend. He said that your words were not in the Christian tradition. They don't represent the Christian position. And also made the point that, you know, I suppose the point I was making, that point, that argument, that it's a far more compassionate church now. That's not fire and brimstone. That's not condemning people for those actions.
The fact is that compassion must never be at the expense of the truth as revealed by God, Jesus Christ, and the teaching of his church. Compassion to me is a little bit like surgery. You know, compassion means that you also have to call the person to embrace the pain in order to experience the healing. And that's where the difference lies. And actually, the bishop was totally wrong when he said it was not in accord with a Christian. The poor man mustn't even know the catechism. He certainly doesn't know the scriptures to make a statement like that. The fact is, he's totally coming out of his feeling side, his emotional side. And as I said to him myself, I said, you are actually, I said, sacrificing the truth for the sake of appeasing people who do not want to come face to face with their sinfulness.
Okay.
And that's the tragedy.
The homily at regular weekend parish mass is not appropriate for such issues to be spoken of in such terms. He said you were wrong in what you said and where you said it as well.
But where else is it going to be spoken? Tell me, where else is it going to be spoken? It's the Word of God. And so a priest actually is obligated by the teaching of the church to preach the gospel and the readings as they are identified for each particular Sunday. He is urged not to deviate from the scriptures. So whatever the scriptures say on the Sunday, that's what God wants the people to hear. Not everything that we hear, I mean, not everything a child hears from the parent is comforting. Mm. Not everything the child hears from the parent feels good.
Yeah.
But a good parent disciplines the child and calls the child to an awareness of what the child should not be doing and what the child should be doing.
Do you feel that your parishioners are children to be told what not and what not to do? Well, is that how you view them?
But the priest, look, this is something that seems to be forgotten today. You know, why is the priest called father? He's called father because he is the father of the children. He's the father of the flock. His job is to provide for them what they need in terms of spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. His job, like any good father, is also to be a disciplinarian. His job is actually to bring them the truth. His job is actually to guide them to heaven. That's his job. And if he doesn't do that, then, like St. Paul says, you know, he said, I cannot preach the word because that's what God is calling me to do.
And what do you say to those who are horrified by your words?
Well,
the people who walked out and who feel that you have a very fundamentalist Catholic position that lacks compassion and empathy.
Yeah, but it's not my fundamentalism, is it? You know, I'm not inventing it. I didn't create it. This is the word of God.
Do you see yourself as the only priest then that's speaking the truth? Because other priests would have the more, let's say, in line with what the Pope is saying, they need support, they need to be helped, non-judgmental, respect for one another, as the Bishop talked about in his statement as well today.
But did you listen to Pope Francis there, you know, a few months ago when he said, somebody asked him about same-sex marriage, you know what he said? You can't bless sin, you know? You can't bless sin. So what is he saying about a homosexual marriage? That those people in it were committing sin. That comes from the Pope.
Yeah.
I mean, do people even listen to these things? Obviously not.
His comments wouldn't be as strong as your comments on what you said in terms of the condemnation you're offering. To say, look, repent from your sins or you're going to hell.
Yeah,
if you're gay, effectively, you're going to hell.
But see, all you're trying to do now, basically, is to justify these people's negative reaction. What about all the people who remained, you know? What about all of them? What about this morning, for example, when I completed the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, you know, the people applauded, a standing ovation. What about them? What about the people who came into the sacristy and said, it's high time we actually heard the truth? What about those people? Are they fundamentalists too? I mean, that's the reality.
You got a standing ovation this morning. You got a standing ovation this morning.
Not too long ago.
Yes.
He said, you know, you can't preach the gospel today because it might offend someone. But we need to, for the sake of living life to the fullest, for the sake of eternal life. We need to.
Mm.
And that's a fact.
Do you think that our politicians, the ones who legislate for things like same-sex marriage, some of them are openly gay, the soon-to-be Taoiseach again, Leo Varadkar, do you think that they are going to hell for what
they've done? Absolutely. If they don't repent of their sin and seek forgiveness, absolutely. Absolutely. Because what they are doing is contrary, first of all, to the law of nature. Secondly, and more importantly, it's contrary to the law of God.
Yeah. Can I ask you...
go against...
Finish your point. Apologies.
I said, when you go against God, who is the author of life, you're actually going against life itself.
Can I ask you, you told a story as well. You described it as horrible, the reality of the HSE handing out contraception to 17-year-olds in Tralee.
Exactly, that dash van, exactly. Because I said, what these people are doing, you know, disguised as helping, they're actually promoting promiscuity. Because I
do you really believe that, Father Sheehy? It's nothing to do with sexual health or preventing unwanted pregnancies.
Well, it doesn't because you know what, Jerry? See, I come, you know, spend 40 something years in America. I saw way back in the end of the 70s where public schools started handing out condoms to boys because they thought, oh, this will reduce promiscuity, this will reduce unwanted pregnancy. You know what it did, Jerry? It tripled it, tripled it. Why? Because you're actually giving an instrument to a teenager who, first of all, is not very much in control of himself and is struggling with his or her identity and so on and so forth. So what you're actually saying is you can go out and have sex and there will be no consequences. You don't have to worry about anything. But we forget again the teaching of Christ and his church, which says that God created sex exclusively for a man and a woman in marriage.
Yeah. And again, that's the fundamentalist position that you were exposing.
No, Jerry, hold on, Jerry. That's not the fundamentalist position. That's God's position. Yeah.
But what about the reality, Father Sheehy? What about the reality of the system we had in this country for decades when we didn't have condoms, when we weren't allowed by condoms, and priests like you and bishops and cardinals were telling us we'd go to hell if we had condoms? We had an industry of Magdalene laundries. Sex was still going on. Unwanted pregnancies were still happening. And we hid them away and we persecuted those who were unlucky enough to be in the bottom rungs.
No, what do you say?
Is it not better to have the choice?
Hold on.
Is it not better to have an option for people who are having sex anyway? If you get rid of all condoms tomorrow, you're not going to stop young people having sex, are you?
Hold on. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I'd say the evidence would be stacked firmly against that position. The reality would be stacked firmly against that position.
Of course you will. Of course you will.
You believe that condoms promote sex and the people won't have sex if condoms aren't around. Is that what you're really saying?
Of course it does. Absolutely. And actually, studies show that very clearly, that it promotes sex because it takes away any sense of responsibility. It also actually says, too, that sex outside of marriage is absolutely fine so long as you're wearing a condom. I mean, that's a horrible message to send to young people, to anybody.
Is it not the sexual health message, though? The avoidance of contracting sexual diseases?
No. The sexual health message, Jerry, is basically go ahead, have sex, so long as there's not going to be a pregnancy. And if there is a pregnancy, go have an abortion. That's the sexual health message. That's a very unhealthy and inhuman message to send to people.
Do you think it was better when we didn't have contraception and we had manual laundries?
What about the laundry?
Is that what you... Do you think it was better in those days in this country when people were sexually repressed? And plenty of sex was going on.
No, it was not better in those days. But the fact is, though, that that was the best that they knew how in those days. Now, you see, and also, a lot of the stuff about the laundries and all the rest of that stuff, too, has been exaggerated by the media
I'll have to stop you there. That's just not true. It's been documented. I've interviewed many women who were in those laundries.
I'm sure you have.
And the terrible tales that they've had to tell about their families for generations. Generations of people came through those.
Look, by the same token, Jerry.
And you're saying it was exaggerated.
Hold on.
Was it invented? Was it made up?
Like the two and babies thing, you know.
What about the two?
And also like the woman, for example, the Indian woman, that was used actually to legitimize...
Savita Halappavanar.
That was a total lie. Total lie.
Oh, Father Sheehy, I'm sorry. That's been well documented. It's been well documented. It's factually correct what happened. And a terrible thing that happened to her, being denied adequate health care, which would have saved her life.
No, that was an example of malpractice. It had nothing to do at all with the illegality of abortion or anything like that.
Okay.
With malpractice.
Can I ask you one in the time that's left, can I ask you one final question?
Definitely,
will you continue to say Mass. You were a retired priest, but you were helping out.
The fact is that Bishop Brown said today that until Father Declan comes out, he was going to take me off all Masses, you know. And I said, okay, fine, that's your prerogative.
Have you been told that? Are you off Masses?
He told me that, yeah.
He contacted you and said you can't say Mass anymore.
Well, not anymore, he said, until Father Declan comes back. But I told him, I could care less, really, because I know myself, it's like anybody else, I know myself that what I said cannot be disproven by any honest-to-God Catholic Christian or Catholic teaching, and that's the bottom line.
So you don't accept the verdict or the word or the comments and the instruction of your bishop?
I don't. I really don't, because I think that what he's doing basically is that he's actually sacrificing the truth, or he's muzzling the truth in order to appease people because they don't want to face reality that they need to face before they die, and that's a given.
Okay.
He should have said to the people, look, Father Sheehy was only preaching the truth. That's it. He's only preaching the gospel. He's only preaching the catechism. That's it. See?
Okay. Father Sheehy, listen, thanks very much for talking to us on the program.
Okay, and I'll send you a copy.
There you go. That is the comments and the words from Father Sean Sheehy following the controversy after his sermons in St. Mary's Church in the Stole over the weekend, and the fact that he's been stood down now from saying Mass until the return of the parish priest by the bishop, and the bishop has apologised for the tone and the content of the sermons that were delivered over the weekend.